Oh, God. Pray this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, fill this place. I surrender my life to you. I yield my life to you. Remove everything that hinders you, that grieves you. I surrender my life in Jesus' name. While I was praying, I saw people being raised up, whether they were in debt, discontent, whether they were, it's a story that I'm going to read tonight where David was in the cave of Adullam and mighty men came and surrounded themselves with him. But they were in debt. Are you guys with me? The Bible says they were distressed. They were discontent, meaning they were fed up with their everyday situation. They were tired. I'm driving this small car. I have this small place to stay and I can't affect people. Listen. If we want to live, I said this morning, religion and poverty is the same spirits. That it's like if somebody's in religion, you can see they're in poverty as well. The spirit of poverty and religion is what binds many Christians because they don't believe and understand what God has told them. Are you with me? When you begin to see the future, we preach on Rayon a lot. And Rayon means to see the thoughts and to see what God has for you. Go to put on the screen 2 Samuel 23 verse 8. I want you to read it with me. And as I'm going to go, I'm going to preach through the scripture. But let me first read it. Say with him, mighty men. I want to just read you. This is where men gather themselves around David. Let's put on 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 first. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1. Listen to this. David found himself in the cave of Adullam. If you study scripture, there were two times which David had the darkest night of his soul. Are you guys with me? It is at this moment where Saul, King Saul, was pursuing David to kill him. Are you with me? Imagine your spiritual father trying to kill you. And Saul was David's spiritual father, if I could say it like that. And he was trying to kill him, hunting him down. Because he heard the people beginning to sing that Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his ten of thousands. And Saul became jealous and he said, but what is this that David is more famous than me? Listen, it is my dream to raise people up that is more effective than me. Are you with me? And you will see what God's vision is with David. And he was in this cave of Adullam, which scripture will tell you there are two times which David had, it's called the darkest night of his soul. The one was here. The other one was when he came back down to his hometown and they found him and the men around him found their wives killed, their wives taken away, their cities burned down and their children taken away, taken captive. And the Bible says that everybody, even the people around David, wanted to stone him and kill him. And he cried out there to God and the Spirit of the Lord said to him, pursue, overtake and recover all. Are you guys with me? And I heard this of the Lord saying to me that tonight it is at a place where you know, this is another time of David's life, another dark night of his soul, a dark season of his soul, where he's in the cave of Adullam. His spiritual father is trying to kill him. And there's these mighty men that is coming around him. David was in the worst place. He was seen as a rebel. He was seen as somebody that wasn't done right. And look, let me just read the scripture. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. Next verse. And everyone, say with me, everyone. That means everyone that was around David was in number one, distress. They were stressful. They were full of anxieties. They were full of troubles. Everyone who was in debt, say with me, in debt. And this is what I heard this with the Lord saying to me, that debt must be canceled. They were in debt. And everyone, it says, was discontented. Say with me, discontented. Which means that they were frustrated with the current situation. If you're in this place and you're frustrated, whether it is ministry, business, your family, your finances, whatever it is, the point of frustration is the point of your breakthrough. Where you're saying, God, I cannot stand in this business. My salary being so low. Listen. It says all these gathered to him, those that were in distress, those that were in debt, and those that were discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. Are you guys with me? It's amazing because we are 400, just over 400 attending in the church. So go back to me to 2 Samuel 23. I just wanted to read this one to explain to you how they came. Listen to this. This is where the scripture is speaking about how mighty these men were. Are you guys with me? But when they came to David, they had potential, but they were not yet mighty. They were in distress, they were discontented, and they were in debt. And David imparted to them the spirit of might. Are you with me? That at the end, they did more than David. Listen, these men were raised up to be chiefs over captains, over guards, which means that over areas where some of them had 23,000 people under them in battle. Are you with me? Read here, listen. Let's go through the scripture. It says, these are the names of the 26, 3, verse 8. 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. It says, these are the names of the mighty men. Say with me, mighty men, whom David had. The one was Joseph Bashebeth. However you mention it, the Togmonite, but they called him. He was also called Adino the Esnite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. Are you with me? Listen. Let's go on. At one time, and after him was Eleazar. Say with me, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Defy the Philistines. It says, verse 10, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. Say with me, weary. And his hand stuck to the sword. He stood in one place and began to fight and kept on fighting until his hand was stuck to his sword. Which means if you looked at him, he was part of his weapon. Are you with me? His weapon became one with him. Listen, stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But the one, this guy, whatever his name is, Shammah, he stationed himself in the middle, south of the middle of the field. This speaks, listen, we'll get into this now. It speaks of a church. He defended it and he killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Are you with me? Let's go to the next verse. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David. This is another three. So listen, let me first go back. Let's go to verse 8. I want to explain this to you. It says this. The scripture is saying this. I want you just to focus on it just for a few minutes. It says there were three mighty men. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. These were the first three. The first one's name was Adino. Say with me, Adino. Because he was mighty and he was close to David because he killed 800 men at one time. Next verse. I'm repeating through this for a reason. Number two, say with me, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Adonite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Next verse. So this second guy, he arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. There were three mighty men. The first one killed 800. The second one stood in one place, and even until he became weary, he carried on fighting. Are you with me? Until his sword was stuck to his hand. And say with me, the Lord brought a great victory. After every victory of these three mighty men, you will see the scripture saying, and God brought a great victory that day. Are you with me? And the people returned after him only to plunder. Now there's a third guy. Let's go to the third one. Next verse. And after him was Shammah. Say with me, Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground. The enemy wanted to take a ground. And this man decided to stand in the middle of that ground. Go to the next verse. It says, but he stationed. Say with me, stationed. He stationed himself in the middle of the ground. And he kept on fighting until he killed the Philistines. I'm not going to too fast, but listen. The word field means it's a place that God gives you to grow like a vineyard. Are you with me? And this man stationed himself in the middle. If we take it, let's say a church, it's somebody that is saying, I'm coming by the church. I'm going to become committed. I'm going to go beyond the point of weary. Where the second one, what was his name? The second guy's name? Go for you, one, two verses back. Shammah. No, the third one was Shammah. The second one was Shammah. Second one. Back. Son of Dodo. That's all I remember, okay? Say with me, weary. He fought until he got weary. And he went beyond that point until the sword was stuck to his hand. Listen, say with him, mighty men. Mighty men goes beyond the point of being weary. They go to a place of commitment. When Shammah, when the third one, when he was standing in the middle of the field, defending his field, the Bible says he stationed himself. It means to be committed. Listen, let me just read to you what the word stationing means. In the Hebrew, it means this. The word stationing, it means to be standing in a position. It means to defend. It means to not moving or running away, but to stand in a place and defend. It means to take a stand and fight. It means to guard something, to present oneself for service, to present oneself for submission. It means to serve and commit in a place until this victory. It means to commit oneself. It is similar to the word that is used for angels when they come to the throne of God and they station themselves, presenting themselves ready to be used by God. When Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus said these words. He said, don't you think I can pray to my Father now and that he will not present to me 12 legions of angels? The word present doesn't mean that they're going to come and work. It means that the Father would put angels in front of him like that and they would be presented. They would stand there waiting on Jesus' commands. Angels are activated by our words. Are you guys with me? Daniel, the angel Gabriel said to Daniel, when he came to Daniel, he said, I have come to you because of your words that you spoke. Not fasting. He said, from the first day that you set your face to seek God, I have come because of your words. The way we speak can either pull demons or it can pull angels. Are you guys with me? So listen. So this man stationed himself, similar to the word of angels being presented to God. It's the same word that when the Bible says that Moses was told to go to Pharaoh and present himself to Pharaoh. It's the same word where God said to Moses, Moses and Joshua, come and present yourself in the tabernacle of meeting where my glory is. It's the same place where Moses and Joshua was ordained for ministry. Are you with me? Which means that the place of stationing, those who are saying, I'm going to make up my mind to station myself, be in one vision. I told you last week, I said, King David said in the Psalms, he says, I am like a tree planted by the rivers. I'm like a tree planted in the house of the Lord, he says, bearing fruit. Are you with me? A tree doesn't move from this one to this one to this one. If you want to see victory, see people who commit to one vision and where God has spoken. And you will see that David, listen, David was in his darkest night of the soul. That when those who push through him through the dark times, they'll have glory and victory. Their names was written. In fact, I'm going to carry on reading and you'll see how some, the Bible says, this one killed 400, but his name was not as famous. And he wouldn't have the ability to be counted amongst the first three. So he was counted a bit lower. But he was still at a lot of honor. And God brought these people that were mighty so that one day their names can be written in scripture as the heroes of faith. Are you with them? As a type of heroes of faith. Listen, let's carry on reading. It says, but he stationed himself. He put himself to be committed to serve in the middle of a field, which speaks of a church. Whenever the Bible speaks of a vineyard or a field like that in the Old Testament, it's symbolic to a church. To defend it. Say it to me, defend it. And kill the Philistines. So the Lord again brought a great victory. Let's go to the next verse. Now it goes to... It says, then 3 of the 30, chief. It's going to other ones. It says, went down to the harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Go to the next verse. And it says, David was then in the stronghold. So the stronghold. Whenever you see the word stronghold in the Old Testament, it means that David retreated and he was in a place where he was spending time with God. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Next verse. And David said with longing, he said, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now listen, to get to the well by Bethlehem, you must fight through the Philistines. It doesn't matter how you want to get around the thing. If you study history, even if they wanted to walk, some scholars say they walked a whole turnaround around a mountain to get there, which is wrong. Whichever direction they wanted to go in, they had to go through the Philistines. And there were 3 men. Go to the next verse. It says, so the 3 mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. They drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it and he poured it out to the Lord. Are you with me? He said, in the beginning, he was just sitting in his place. We were spending time with God. And the people were fighting victories and David was fighting. And he said, I long. These men didn't respond to a command. They didn't respond even to a request. They responded where David just said, I wonder how it will taste to have water from a place like that. Are you guys with me? That is why these men were called mighty. And they said, listen, if David just wants to taste it, we're going to fight through. There's a thing that works like this. Listen, if God gives a vision to encounter, we have a scripture. We say the vision, not a scripture. We talk on scripture when it says that Habakkuk says, write down the vision. But a people without vision perishes. Which means a people needs a vision and a vision needs people. That God can speak and encounter and he can say, I want to do this. And we're raising up so many leaders and we're going to pray for the new members just now after this. But we want to raise up so many leaders. I think we got 24, 25 e-groups, home cells within the short time that we have. But I need a people to say, I want to go to the full end with this vision. Where they're saying that even though my hand is weary, I'm going to fight until I become one with my weapon. Are you with me? Listen, these men stuck with David, and I'm not going to speak. I'm not speaking in context of me now. But these men stuck with David, even when all of their wives were taken captive, their sons, their children, and they wanted to kill David. One of these mighty men was the husband of the woman that David had adultery with. Are you with me? Uriah, something like that. David had adultery with Bathsheba, and the Bible says her husband was out on the forefront, busy fighting, because David was not there. The battle was lost that day. But imagine that even if David slept with one of his mighty men's wives in the old covenant, and these guys still stay loyal. And I see when we're Christians, we can't stay loyal in the church. It says, so there were 3 mighty men. They broke through. Say with you, broke through. When a person decides to be a mighty man, when I say man, I mean a woman as well. Mighty men and mighty women of valor. When they decide to say, I'm going to become loyal, I'm going to become faithful, they have breakthrough in every area of their lives. It says that David, if you study the scripture, and I'm not going to get into that now, it's in another portion, but when David was serving God, that he was in the place where it was called the Lord of Breakthroughs. Are you guys with me? The spirit of Perez, the spirit of might. That is in the old covenant. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, that in the old covenant, the glory was passing away. But in the new covenant, we have the ministry of the spirit, ever increasing. That if we compare it to the old covenant, you cannot even, it's like nothing compared to it. Are you guys with me? The old covenant is nothing to what we have right now. Why? Because when these mighty men were around David, the spirit came upon them. We have the spirit within. Are you with me? They had the spirit upon them for moments at a time. And you will see how these men went and killed things. One guy just went and killed people that looks like lions and going into a pit and killing lions because the spirit of might came upon them. Imagine the new covenant. We have the Holy Ghost within. The glory of God dwelling on the inside of us. Business should be easy. Amen. Ministry should be easy. Listen. It says David poured it out on the floor because he would not drink it. Go to the next verse. And he said, far be it from your Lord that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. And these things were done by the three mighty men. And we're going to be starting a series on honor from next week. And you see here how David honors sideways as well. He said, these men that have spilled their blood, that has fought in jeopardy, how can I drink this and abuse this thing? When you give your finances into Encounter by ECC, we don't go and abuse it. It goes into a ministry account and every cent is used to advance the kingdom of God. Are you with me? We had people complaining about why we spend some money on the sound, why we're buying TVs and all that. It's to advance the kingdom of God. It's to create an atmosphere, a place where people can meet God, an atmosphere where you can worship God. Listen, how amazing is that you can come to a church and the presence of God is there, or the anointing is tangible. You have the ability to bring people and they can get saved and delivered. God does not take these things lightly. Are you with me? And listen, let's read on. Verse 18. And it says, now Abishai, say with me, Abishai, the brother of Joab. Now speaking of another mighty men as well, the ones that were a little bit lower. It says, the son of Zeruiah was chief of another three. Now when it says that he was chief of three, the three under him had thousands under them. Are you with me? He lifted his spear against 300 men. He killed them and won a name among these three. Next verse. Was he not, now the scripture is saying, was he not most honorable of the three? And then it says, therefore he became their captain. He was the most honorable. However, he did not attain to the first three. Meaning that the first three still, they have many battles. They had many victories. This one was powerful. You're killing 300 people. But he was not as great as the others. Listen, go to the next verse. Then it goes to another man, Benaiah, was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. And this man, whose his name is Benaiah, it says that he had killed two lion-like heroes. Say with me, lion-like. It says lion-like heroes of Moab. A lion-like hero, the scholars will tell you it was what they are trying to put together, although there's not fully evidence to exactly what a hero was. But a hero was those that were like giants. Are you with me? They were big, they were strong, they were taller. Their faces looked like lions. They were lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down, and just because for the fun of it, he killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Listen, I said this morning how Samson, when the spirit of might came on him, he grabbed a hold of a lion and he tore it into pieces, which means he grabbed the mouth and the jaw of a lion and he tore it apart just for fun because of the spirit of might. Listen. If we can catch the revelation of the spirit of might, business can happen. You don't need people to intimidate you, people to take your job, people to do this or take your position. When you have the spirit of might upon you, These guys were killing 800 people. In the Old Testament, it were people. In the New Testament, it can be demons. And our fight is spiritual. Are you with me? So he went down to him with, and he liked an Egyptian. And he killed an Egyptian. A spectacular man. So with me, a spectacular man. This means one of those Egyptians. If you've ever watched these movies, they were tall. They were great in battle. They were captains. They were leaders. It was a spectacular man. He killed one of them. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. So this mighty man, Benaiah, he went down to him with a staff. Say with me, a staff. The word staff in the Old Covenant means authority. Whenever a shepherd had a staff, he would guide a flock of sheep. It means authority. When Moses had a rod, which was similar, it was authority. So when God said to Moses, Moses, lift up your rod, and you split the Red Sea, which means that he was saying in essence to Moses, Moses, I want you to lift your authority and raise your authority. Listen, one of the first keys to church planting, when we plant a church as Encounter in Centurion, one of the first keys is to establish your authority. People hated us for it. Because we would stand and we would minister to people. People want to come and they want to come and lay hands and prophesy over people. And we took them on. Why? A place with this order and authority. You will see now how revival comes in that place. I'll show you now in the scripture how these mighty men, when all of them were placed in order, that it says at the end that there was prosperity. There was so much overflow in Israel. There was so much food. There was so much land. There was so much. And then it says at the end, it says that joy was in the whole of Israel. Why? Because of mighty men and authority structured in a place. Are you guys with me? So this mighty man went down with a staff. He wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. And he killed him with his own spear. That if there's people that is in this place that's saying, I got to receive the anointing to be a mighty man or a woman, that whatever the enemy is throwing against you, that you will kill him with the same thing he's trying to come against you. The Bible says these words. It says that, you can have a sense, it says, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, and he replied to them, he says, listen, don't rejoice only for this fact, but that your names are written in the Lamb's book, in the book of life. But they said, even the demons are subject to us. When God spoke to Adam and Eve and he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And it says to subjugate the earth. Are you guys with me? The word subject means to trample upon something. It means to put something under your feet. It means to trample on. And the thing that placed you in bondage, to put that into bondage. It means to become a master of something and make someone your slave. That's what the word subject means. When the disciples got the revelation that they have authority, they came to Jesus and they said, even the demons are subject to us, which means that we have the ability to trample upon them. We can place the demons, the devil, into bondage, or where he has placed us into bondage. Whatever the devil has done to you, you can turn it around. Are you with me? It goes on, it says, these things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, because there were 37 mighty men under them. But he did not attain to the first three. He still didn't make it as high as them. This man took a spear out of a hero's hand, out of a spectacular Egyptian, and he killed the enemy with his own weapon. He killed a lion in a snowy pit on a snowy day. Are you guys with me? He killed two lion-like heroes that were, the scholars will tell you, was like giants in that day. This man, but yet he still didn't get there to the top. Go to the next verse. Let's see. Is that the next one? Okay. Azahel. Say with me, Azahel. The brother of Joab was one of the 30, Eliahan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem. Let's go to the next verse. Shammah. And then it goes through the names, through the names, through the names. Go with me to the scripture. Let me just get it here. Go for me to 1 Chronicles. Let me look for it. Go for it to 1 Chronicles 12, let's go from verse 23. I want to show you something. I want to show you some characteristics of these mighty men. Verse 23, it says, and we'll close with this. Listen, it's speaking of the same group of mighty men that were around David. It says, now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped with war. Say with me, equipped for war, and came to David at Hebron to turn over the king of Saul to him, the kingdom of Saul to him, according to the word of the Lord. Go to the next verse. Of the sons of Judah, bearing the shield and spear, 6,800 armed for war. Say with me, armed. As we're going to go through this whole chapter, you're going to see, and I'm going to jump from verses. It says these men were able to war. They were able. They were men that were able. Are you guys with me? It's, in fact, it says that they were in the tribes of their fathers. They were standing out in the house of their fathers as those who had victory. Listen, go to put me on there, verse 28. It says, Zadok, a young man, a valiant warrior, and from his father's house, 22 captains. And speaking of Zadok, go on. These men were dangerous. Listen. It says of the sons of Benjamin, relatives of Saul, 3,000. And it goes on. Go for me to verse 30. And it says, just flow with me. It says of the sons of Ephraim, 20,800. Then it says mighty men of valor, famous men throughout their father's house. Of half of the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000 who were designated by name to come and make David king. Of the sons of Issachar, go with me to verse 33. It says of Zebulun, there were 50,000 who went out to battle. Say with me, experts. These guys were expert in war with all weapons of warfare. Stout-hearted men who could keep ranks. Are you guys with me? It goes on, go to verse 25. It says, of the Danites who could keep battle formation. These guys could keep, they could know, but wait, this one is going out of formation. This one is going out of unity. This one is going into division. They could keep formation. They could keep orders, 28,600. It goes on, it says that they would go out, that those who could go out to war, able to keep battle formation. Go for it to verse 37. It says of the Reubenites and the Gadites of the half tribe of Manasseh from the other side of Jordan, 120,000. Listen to these words. Armed for battle with every kind of weapon of war. All these men of war who could keep ranks came to Hebron with a loyal heart. Say with me, a loyal heart. When these men came to David in the cave of Adullam, David said to them these words. He said, are you here for your sakes? Or are you here? Is your heart with me? Many people come to church and they say, the Lord told me to come here. And then they will send us emails and say, you know, the Holy Spirit told me that I will lead the youth one day. The Lord told me that I will be the youth pastor of this church. That man was gone after 2 weeks of being in the church. But the Lord showed him visions, prophesied over big men of God that they will be the youth in this church. Their hearts were loyal to God, but not loyal to man. Are you with me? David said, listen, and this is stuff that we actually give at leadership because many will get offended when we say that, when we speak of school of discipleship. David said, listen, I want to know if you're in unity with us here. Have you come to serve with us the vision that God has given? Are you guys with me? And it says, these men of war that was able to keep ranks. I think it's Joel chapter number 2 verse 2 of the army of the Lord. Saying that they were marching in battle ranks. Knowing exactly where everyone must go. Are you guys with me? So these men were the same. They came with a loyal heart to make David king over Israel, and all the rest of Israel were one of them. Were one mind, making David king. So they're one mind. Acts chapter number 2, when power fell on the day of Pentecost, it says all the disciples were there with one mind, one heart, and one spirit. Are you with me? Let's go to the next verse. Let's flow quickly to where it's going. Verse 39, it says, and they were there with David 3 days, eating and drinking. Listen, now it's going to get to the results of a place that is structured like an army. Are you with me? Ephesians 6, verse 10, you will see the Bible, the Apostle Paul speaks of the organization, the structure of Satan. He said, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Meaning that the devil has structures. Are you guys with me? They have, where the church can't even submit. Listen, now speaking of the results, it says, and they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Next verse. Moreover, those who were near to them, from as far away as Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, were bringing food on donkeys. Are you guys with me? We're bringing food on donkeys and camels. Listen, when camels were brought in, they were brought in on caravans. You would see multitudes of camels coming in with food and preparation and prosperity. Camels on mules and oxen, provision of flour and cakes of figs and cakes of raisins, wine and oil and oxen and sheep. Say with me, abundantly. Because everything was right, there was authority. People knew how to march in ranks. The Bible says, listen, everything, there was abundance of everything. When the Bible says that in Psalm 103, it says that where the brethren dwells in unity, there I will command my blessings. God is saying, listen, where the brethren dwells in unity, meaning this one knows his rank, the other one knows their rank. They know where to submit. If this one that is a leader says go, they go. They know how to serve. They can serve in the church. They keep ranks. He said, where there's unity, I will command. Say with me, command my blessing. This is not a blessing that has been prayed for. This is what we call the commanded blessing of God. Meaning like the blessing cannot choose to go left or right. It's commanded by God to go to that place. When God is commanding your finances to come right. When Jesus commanded, and he said about, and he went and a fish came and brought money to him, miracle money out of water to pay his tax. How much more can God speak and change a bank account? It's one word. Listen, we think that he could die on the cross and we believe it. We believe our sins are taken away, but we refuse to believe he can prosper us. We refuse to believe that he can heal our bodies. The same power that saved us is the power that heals us. The same power that heals is the power that delivers and the power that can bless you financially. It's a commanded blessing of God. Listen. It says raisins, wine, oil, and it was everything in abundance, abundantly. Everybody say with me, say, for there was joy in Israel. Where there's structure, where there's authority, where people know how to keep ranks and they'll be promoted and they're deciding that I'm going to be a mighty man or a woman. They choose to station themselves in a field and fight until the Lord brings victory. Are you guys with me? God is saying, I will bring joy and I will pour out joy in all of Israel, which means that joy will be in the church. Listen, you walk into church and people, I don't know, they just, it looks like a funeral. When we're preaching at other places, you'll have ECC people jumping up and you have every other person. I said it this morning, they just refuse. They'll just sit and look. Even though, you know, we will stand up when a president walks into a room. Let God's presence come in. We will refuse. Because the fear of God has departed from many. How many of you know it's disrespect to sit if an elder walks in? When I say an elder, somebody that's older than us. Well, that is how manners was. When God walks into a place, I've seen religion just cause people, they will even say in their hearts, we had people messaging us saying they will refuse. Why, when we had conferences, when we have meetings, why is our people jumping or standing up? And they will fight against God and allow religion. Say with me, joy. It's time to get joy. When the brethren dwells in unity, I will command my blessing, number one. Number two, the Bible says that there I will pour down oil from the head to the beard, to the shoulders, to the garments. Meaning that where there's structure, where there's leadership, the Bible speaks of the head. How many know the head is Christ? The beard speaks of senior leadership. Then it goes from there unto the shoulders, which speaks of more leadership, and then it speaks of the garments going to the church. God, and the book of Psalms says that the Lord is saying how I will pour out there where there's unity, I will pour out my oil, and it will flow from the head into all the garments of the church. Every person sitting under that covering where there's unity will receive oil from heaven. Are you with me? When oil anoints you, listen, when David was anointed with oil, it was the difference between Saul and David. King Saul, which was not a king, he was a captain, was anointed with a flask. Are you guys with me? It was a man-made thing. Many moves and many churches are man-made and is not anointed by God itself. That's why Saul, the Bible says that he was, that Saul was king. Well, he ruled for 40 years, but he was anointed for two only. Because the kingdom of God was taken away from him. Are you with me? Samson, the presence of the Lord departed from Samson. He knew it not. At the end of the day, Samson prayed one prayer and God brought victory. But his whole life, there was not recorded one verse where Samson prayed. From the beginning of his life to the end, not one verse is recorded where Samson prayed to God. Only at the end of his life, when he was bound to pillars, and the enemy was surrounding him, and the enemy began to rejoice to take out his life, did he pray to God, and he said, oh God, remember me, and some victory was brought, but his whole life was wasted. And the anoint, the Bible says that the presence of the Lord departed from him. When David was anointed, he was anointed with a horn, which is God's exact structure. One day after he was anointed with oil, he overcame Goliath. Are you guys with me? He took out Goliath. In one day, he became best friends with the son of the president, Jonathan, who was Saul's son. In one day, Saul said to him, listen, what shall be given to the man who, David said, what shall be given to the man that kills, that takes out Goliath? And Saul said to him, if you take him out, when he took him out, he says, you can name anything you want, lands, properties, I will give you anything. Are you guys with me? And he even got the daughter. So listen, when the anointing comes on you, there's a spirit of might. Raise your hands, wherever you're on this place, just sit, just close your eyes, just raise your hands. This is one thing I heard this the Lord saying to me for tonight, is that there are those that are distressed, that are in debt, and that are discontent. And they have great potential, but the spirit of might is going to come upon people. They'll have victory in businesses. They'll have victory in ministries. I saw when I was praying a vision, I had people, and this was a long time since I began to experience this. I saw that it is time, as we believed God into our first building, we got into the second one. I heard that it is time to go to the next step for us. But it's going to take people that are saying, I want to become a mighty man or a woman. I want to align myself standing on this field, committing, stationing myself, and fight with my sword, even though I feel weary in mind. I feel weary in my spirit, but I will fight until the sword sticks to my hand. And many that are faithful, that comes with a loyal heart as these mighty men come. I saw this with the Lord coming upon them, giving them great victories. Just stand to your feet, wherever you are, stand to your feet. Father, may by the sound of my voice right now, may the anointing come down and touch your people. I pray that you will raise them up as mighty men and women, that the oil will come upon them, that discontent, distress, and those that are in debt, that those bondages will be broken, that we'll be a people that believes in your words. As your son said, that those who believe, only believe, and you will do the impossible. Only believe, and the impossible will take place. Only believe, and debt can be cancelled in one day. The Egyptians, in Egypt, the Israelites, in one day, they went to bed as slaves, and they woke up free with the riches of Egypt upon their back, with debt cancelled in one day, freedom in one day. I speak and I pray, I decree and I declare, anointing and oil and authority and prosperity to be upon your people. Place your hand upon their lives. May oil drip from heaven upon their lives. Right now, may your commanded blessing be upon your people. I speak for authority in their bank accounts, in their businesses, in their house, in their families, in their ministry, in their finances, in every area, anything, any debt that there is, may there be miracles this night. May there be joy in this house as there was joy in Israel. In Jesus' mighty name, pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe you can do the impossible. I believe you saved my soul. I believe you can heal my body. You can deliver my life. You can do miracles. And you can bless me financially. I believe it. I receive it for every area of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Father, I pray. I take authority over everything. Right now, may every spirit be broken. Every spirit of poverty and depression. I take authority over every force limiting your people. Every spirit of witchcraft that is attacking this church, that is attacking this leadership. Every force and voice of witchcraft that is coming against leadership in this church, that is coming against families in this church, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority and I bind your works. I break your power. Every witchcraft against families in this house, I command liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. Give him a praise offering, church.